Hello, welcome to Overburdened, the podcast for postal workers. I'm Kevin Hitchings.
And I'm Brandy Hughes. And today we're going to talk about how the new 10 federally mandated sick days affect you.
Yeah, they were announced a little while ago, but we're still getting constant questions about them. And I don't think it's communicated really clear from the corporation side for sure on how they work. Part of that reason is they're not 100% ironed down yet, really. The corporation has tried to implement some things, but of course haven't done it through the proper procedures. And we'll just go over how it stands now and where it might be going.
And if at any point you're upset about how it stands now, please know that nationally grievances have been filed on this. So for the urban collective agreement, the grievance number is N00-22-00006. And for RSMC's same number, just with an R instead of the first zero. N00-22-R0006. Those are just the national policy grievances. So basically, if you... you probably don't agree with what the corporation has offered, but we'll get into what they've offered now because it doesn't fit with what the federal government is saying they should be offering us. So I'm pretty confident that we're eventually going to get more than what they've given us now, but...
It's hard to say because things go through arbitration. You never really know how it's going to turn out. Sometimes it seems obvious, but I can guarantee Canada Post has run this through their lawyers and they wouldn't do it if they had zero chance. But if they even have a slim chance of posing us over, they will. So I don't want to say you're guaranteed that it'll be different, but there's a really good chance. They've also blatantly done things that they know were going to fail before, just because they think they can bully their way through.
So, I think they were hoping we wouldn't file the grievance, right?
This takes us back close to what we had in the pre-Harper days. And it's close to what we've been asking for in past when we've been trying to rebuild. So I think they decided that since it's close to what we wanted before, but before we didn't have leverage or reason, we were just trying to claw our way back to what was stolen from us. Mm-hmm. So I think last demands, we wanted to get back up to 13 personal days. So that's kind of what the corporation tried to give us was 13 days. But first of all, they should be giving us more. Secondly, these have extra restrictions on them that personal days don't. So it's not adequate and it's not what the law says.
Yeah, when we went from the 15 sick days to the 7 personal days, it was made very clear to us that they were not the same, that we wouldn't be able to bank them indefinitely like we could with the sick days previously.
Well, bank them at all.
Well, we can carry forward up to 5.
Yeah, a little different than banking, but yeah.
With the current 7 personal days. And anyone who had banked sick days at that time had them set aside in a top-up credits. So if you're ever on disability, you can use those to top up your wage from the 70% that short-term disability gives you to 100% of your wage.
Yeah. So when these new sick days came in, like Brand said before, they were very clear that personal days were not sick days. Now they're kind of trying to backpedal on that, saying, well, you already have all these personal days you can use as sick days, therefore we don't have to give you 10 sick days. But of course, the union's position is, well, we have 0 sick days, therefore you owe us 10 in addition to the personal days that we already have. So we should be getting 17.
Yes, I agree.
The only difference between the two should be that sick days are for being sick. So you'd have to call in for that reason and be clear that you're calling in because you're sick, which is not restricted to physical illness. If you need a mental health day, that's still sick, right?
Mm-hmm. The federal government has put out a number of documents, but I have linked one of them to our Facebook page. So if you want to read through it for yourself, you completely can. I really like that they provided examples. There are 9 different examples of if your collective agreement is like this and you're entitled to this and these are the rules around those days, then you get this. In particular, I feel like examples 8 and 9 apply to us, but we'll get to those in a minute. Right now, as of December 1st, if you've worked, federally regulated employees who work for 30 days continuously are entitled to 3 days of medical leave with pay, and then every month Thereafter, they get 1 day earned, up to a maximum of 10 per year, and they can be used for personal illness or injury, organ or tissue donation from the employee, medical appointments during your working hours. So if you've got a specialist appointment at 10 a.m. and you can't move it because you've been waiting 6 months to get in, that's what these sick days are for, or for quarantine of the employee. Now, we also still have quarantine leave under Article 21.
Yes, this shouldn't override quarantine pay, but I haven't seen any clarification from the employer on how they're going to handle that. My position, I assume the union's position, is that these are completely separate things, and if you're in quarantine, it should not take away from your sick leave.
I agree. And also keep in mind that no matter what the corporation tells you, there's no time limit on the amount of quarantine pay you should be entitled to. You're in quarantine until your medical practitioner says that you're not.
Right. The 5 or previously 10 days was the corporate policy, which worked in some people's favor. Some people didn't realize that they had COVID right away or didn't go right away, and they only had 3 days left, and the corporation still made them take that 5 or 10.
At one point, it was 14. It was 2 weeks.
Well, yeah. Well, they changed it from 14 calendar days to 10 working days, which should be the same thing anyway.
Yeah.
Last guidance from the corporation. And the corporation, they did sort of consult, but then that way that they talk to the union quick and then make up their mind on their own and ignore us. So part of the grievance that we filed is they never properly consulted. They've decided, again, to treat these like personal days, and they claim that they will be carried over like personal days. So you'd only be able to carry over 5. And because they're treating them like personal days, this wouldn't be in addition to what you can already carry over. But by what I interpret here is it'll just be you carry over the 5 you carried before. Under the federal law, it says you can carry them all over, but you will earn less the next year because of it. So if you're supposed to get 10 and you carry over 9, you're only going to be able to earn 1 more that year. Okay, if you carry over 6, you'll only be able to carry 4 more over that year. And
to earn 4 more.
Yeah, so you're only going to be able to use 10 per year, no matter what, but you can carry them forward. So what that will do is make sure that people that use them up every year won't be starting every year with 1, but they will also lose a few opportunities if you don't use them.
I feel like the only way that that's really beneficial to you is if you're planning to have a surgery or you know that you're ill at the end of the year and you are going to miss time before you get a chance to earn more sick days.
Right.
I also have a copy of an email here sent by, I may be pronouncing this wrong, Moise Kaja, the Officer of Resource Planning for the PCNR team, that states that they will not allow us to pay them out or carry them over.
Yeah, payouts are not allowed under the federal rules or the Canada Post rules. And again, they don't say they're allowing us to carry over sick days. They're saying they're allowing us to carry over personal days as per usual. So they're mixing and matching the rules here.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they're not super clear about it. It just says there will be no change to how personal days will be carried over or paid out. But it doesn't say that you can or can't carry over the sick days. And again, they're picking and choosing whether they're treating them like a new thing or like personal days. So to me, this implies that they're just going to wipe them out at the end of the year and you'll have to start again. But it's not really clear.
Okay, now things are a little different here for full-time permanent employees, and I believe for part-time as well, that Canada Post is giving us 6 days. I'm not sure if you can use them in December or if you can't use them until January, but 6 days, and they will expire, six days that will expire at the end of June, and then on July 1st, we will get 6 more sick days for the rest of the year and our usual 7 personal days. So you'll get 13 more days up to a maximum of 18 if you carried over 5.
So here's my question there.
Okay.
If they give you 6 days in January,
mm-hmm,
and you use 2, do you lose 4 and get a new 6?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just unclear exactly how they're going to do it.
I would believe that the government would allow them to pick a different calendar year. Just like when you file your taxes, if you're a business, you can say, I want my year to run from February 1st to January 31st.
And I didn't read all the rules, but there are rules in the legislation for adjusting to a different calendar year.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I think that's probably how it's going to pan out. But so that's for permanent employees. If you're a temporary employee, you'll fall under the federal rules completely, because you don't have personal days. You just had this previous to this, you had the 3 paid and the 2 unpaid days every year. Have they been replaced by this? Or are those still in effect?
Again, another thing that hasn't really been clarified. The thing is they're not the same. Is these are sick days, mm-hmm. which means you can only take them when they're sick. So how can they replace personal days that you can use for anything? They right. shouldn't. One of the things here that's not good for temp employees is it says they will replace whatever hours you were scheduled to work that day. And I know a lot of times terms are called in and I'll say, hey, you doing a full route today? They say, I don't know. I'm waiting to find out, you know? And if they're not told they're working a full day, I guarantee the corporation is going to pay them their minimum 3 hours.
And especially with the Eclipse system that phones you, it's not like you can ask, how many hours is it?
Right. So
I think I would advise you to, after you accept the shift on the Eclipse system, I would advise you to phone the supervisor at that facility and ask those questions. How many hours is it? What route am I doing? When would you?
Yeah. Things you don't necessarily know the route you're going to do until other people have been called and you can pick by your seniority, even though if you were right. called first, you should be picking first. But yeah, that's problematic because they're always going to pay you the minimum and you can't call in and say, hey, I'm sick if it's an 8-hour day, you know?
Well, they'd have to pay you the minimum 3, right?
Right, but I'm saying they will always pay you the minimum 3.
Unless
you can prove that you would have got 8 somehow.
That seems really unfair if other people are collecting 80 hours.
Right.
And the only way you're getting 30.
The only way to really prove that is if you find out who the term that called in after you got and how many hours were they offered, not actually worked. Right. Because they might have not been able to work the whole shift.
I have argued since I was casual that we should band together with our coworkers who are also casual. Anyone who's around you in seniority, you should have their phone number, their email. You should almost create a WhatsApp chat or some other chat group where you can contact each other quickly and say, like, I had it with the person ahead and behind me where it was like, if I got a call, because this was before the Eclipse system, if I got a call, I would text the next guy and be like, hey, they just called me to come to work today. And he'd be like, oh, okay, I'll get ready, you know, because they're going to call him next, right? And there were a number of times that led to us filing grievances for being bypassed because we found out that the guy after us had worked and we hadn't, right?
So again, the rules seem kind of clear when you read them, but there's a lot of gray area here that just hasn't been clarified. And I think part of that is lack of consultation again. And part of that is these rules might be made, they're just not telling us. So where is the communication?
Right.
You know, they come out and they act like it's a big gift. Hey, we're giving you 6 personal days, but what are they not giving you when they're supposed to be giving you, you know, 10 on top of what you already have?
Right. I'm just going to put that out there now that if you have answers to these things we're not quite sure about, we'd love to hear about them. And you can send them to our email at overburdenpod@gmail.com. And I'll try to add them to our Facebook page for anyone who's curious about the answers. So one thing that's come up is that we've gone over what you can use the sick days for. Personal days, of course, you can use for whatever you want, right? They're personal days, and you don't even have to tell them why. It's personal.
Yeah. Why are you taking a personal day? Because it's personal.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's worth noting that it's not up to your employer to decide which leave you're using, like as long as the reason for your absence fits within the scope of the sick days, you can choose to use a sick day. And I would recommend using them first.
For
because
sure.
Because you can't carry them over like the
Well, they'll never get paid out. Like you can sort of carry them over under these rules, but it costs you in the next year and you never get paid out for them.
Nope.
So use them first, make sure that they're using that, and then check SAP afterwards. Because just because you tell them you're sick doesn't mean they're going to code it as sick.
Yeah, and be very specific. I'm using a sick day. And there are various codes that they should be entering that absence under. So if you're a permanent urban employee, the code is 9051. And if you're a term or temporary employee, it's 9052. If you're a permanent RSMC, including a pre, the code is 703. And if you're an OCR, then it's 702.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it's going to show up in SAP right now, but there'll be that number, and usually there's a word description, but sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't. So those keep those numbers in mind for now, at least.
They might also call it CLC medical leave.
Certified medical leave, yeah. Or certified leave medical, whatever it is. Oh, yeah, just a reminder, too. I mentioned this already once, that a mental health day is still a sick day. So, you know, some people are kind of worried that if they take a sick day, they have to hide in their house all day. No, not necessarily. There might be some supervisors that have issue with that. If you take a sick day, then you're seen out of your house. But, you know, it's a mental health day. If it relaxes you to go shopping, if that's what you need to do, then go shopping, whatever.
Well, and I think it's definitely been proven that exposure to sunlight can improve a person's mood.
Yeah,
or even their physical condition.
And even just waking up super sore and groggy, exercise is a great cure for that. Go for a jog. Doesn't mean you're not sick, you know?
Right.
You're not physically fit to work. Do what you need to do.
I think if you're particularly if you deliver outside, either as an MSC or letter carrier or an RSMC, getting out and trying some walking or just some physical activity might help you determine whether you can go to work tomorrow. Because I like, especially with people who are recovering from COVID, I've heard this story hundreds of times that people thought they were better, went back to work and realized that they are not breathing right. They can't actually handle being in the workplace and doing the job yet. They think they're better when they're sitting at home on the couch, but as soon as they get outside and around people and start being physically active, they realize that they don't have enough oxygen in their system to function properly.
Right. And your personal medical information is your personal medical information. If they say, what's wrong? Why are you sick? How are you feeling? I'm sick. That's it. None of your business. That's all you need to tell them. And they cannot ask you for a note or for documentation until you've been missing for 5 consecutive days. Consecutive. That's key. I know they'll probably try and scam this. So you're on your last personal day. We better talk to you about it. Or last sick day. No, you don't need to. And if they do want to talk to you about it, you know, you're on your last sick day. What happened? I was sick. That's it. You don't need to tell them anymore. You should always have a shop steward present when that happens. And if they, you know, even any question beyond that at all, instant grievance, and they should be warned harshly against even implying that you have to give them that information.
In the document I've shared on our Facebook page that came from the federal government, it gives examples of if you have a collective agreement that gives you other kinds of leave, then you either, it would either count as the sick days or it doesn't. Okay. So they give 9 different examples. I don't feel like the first 7 really apply to us as much. And I'm going to get into why. It's because because we can carry over or get paid out for our personal days up to the 5. You can pay out everything but the 5, I guess. And also the scope is different. So the sick days can only be used for the 4 reasons I gave earlier, generally relating to illness. The personal days can be used for anything. They can be used because your kid has a concert at school, or you just want an extra day off at the end of your holidays, or whatever it is. So example 8 talks about you get the 10 sick days. But this person, Robin is the name they use in the example, also has floater days. So much like our personal days, it can be used for just about anything. They can be used to take extra holiday time or whatever. There's no stipulations as to what they can and cannot be used for, and you don't need a note. So because the scope is different, they say that he gets the 10 sick days as well as his floater days.
Scope being the reason.
Yeah.
A sick day as opposed to an anything day.
Right. The other example is very similar. Number 9, the name given is Charmaine. She also has a contract where she gets floater days. They're clearly to be used as extra time off. So she also gets the 10 paid sick days from the government. In this example, it specifically speaks to she books a day off and her employer charges her one of her floater days. And when she returns to work, she goes, no, I was injured. And therefore, it's a sick day. And I want it coded as a sick day and not a personal day. Now, it kind of gives you the impression in that example that if that happens to you, that you could complain to the federal government about how your employer is not following their rules.
You definitely can.
I would also file a grievance.
Yeah. Realistically, there's a lot of things that we, in theory, could go after the employer for, but the courts will always say exhaust the grievance procedure first. So it doesn't exclude you from doing both simultaneously. You know what? A flood of complaints doesn't hurt either. But definitely file that grievance. Never bypass the grievance process in favor of anything else. If you do, in any situation, if you decide to go to another route, do the grievance procedure simultaneous as well.
There are a number of instances where you might have a complaint like that, not necessarily about the sick days and personal days, but there may be a time limit to complain to the federal government about it. So I know, for example, if you're complaining to Employment and Social Development Canada, ESDC, a lot of their things have a 6-month time limit. Now, you can file a claim with them, like a complaint claim, and there's a box in there that asks if you have a grievance procedure that you're pursuing, and you would just say, yes, it's not been resolved yet. But once you put that paperwork in, that kind of stops the clock on your 6 months so that you could pursue that in the future if your grievance isn't successful. Excellent.
In both these two examples you gave, I think the key thing to take from there is in both examples that are cited, you know, as examples of how the federal law should be implemented, neither of these supplant your personal days. They're both in addition to the existing personal days. Mm-hmm. And Canada Post has decided to do this half and half thing where, again, they're cherry picking the best for them, whether they want it or not. And from these examples and the union's position, it seems clear that we keep our personal days as they are and get an additional 10 sick days. So,
yeah,
like I said, that's what the national policy grievance is partly about, among other things. And hopefully that's the way it'll resolve. Grievance procedure is never super quick, but national policy ones are quicker than a lot of other ones cases.
I almost feel like in this instance, it's probably in both parties' interest to resolve it quickly, because if they don't and we have a lot of time to build, then a bunch of us are going to be owed 4 sick days.
But a lot of us won't take those sick days in the first place because we don't know we have them too, which I think is what the corporation's banking on.
I think you could reasonably argue that if you used 4 personal days that year, that they should have been sick days, and then you should get the pay.
That's the other thing too, is if you exhaust your sick days and you do have to go into personal days, I would definitely put in writing that you are taking a personal day because you are sick. That way, if the natural policy grievance comes back in our favor and they should have given us 10, you can go back and say, hey, that personal day was supposed to be a sick day.
Yep.
Whereas if you don't do that, it's hard to say, you know, they'll say, well, you took a personal day. It was just a personal day. You can't go back and say, well, it was a sick day, you know, a year later, 6 months later, without any proof. So make sure you have some kind of written documentation that says, I am sick, so that we can get that coding changed later if that situation comes up.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have taken to texting their supervisors when they are calling in, just so that they can prove they called in, because some supervisors like to claim they never heard from you and that you're AWOL.
And we've actually had in our depot where someone was cited as a no-show, even though they had called in, and then the message showed up the next day. And it happened twice, and we actually verified it with a shop steward that this actually happened. Like, they said, come listen to the messages, nothing's here. The guy did it again. Next day, the guy says, oh, I phoned in and said, well, let's go check the message again. It says, well, 6 a.m., like way early yesterday, here's the message. It's like, what the heck? It was the same guy, so I'm guessing it was on his end of the cell phone. But still, it was there and recorded. So weird things happen sometimes. But you definitely want record of that, because if we didn't show the proven record, it would have been a no-show.
Crazy.
Oddly, I don't remember who that was, but it did happen.
I don't even know.
So one thing where the corporation is going to claim that they are doing better under federal law, and sometimes they give us little carrots that are slightly better just so that we'll overlook, or the arbitrator will overlook what all the things they're taking, is they do only have to give us 10, and they're giving us 6 in the first month, they're giving us 6 in January and then another 6 in June. So they're going to try and say, hey, we gave them 12. That's more than we had to, which is pretty minor compared to what they're taking. But you do in the first year technically get those bonus too.
Yeah, but everything I've read from the government implies that we should have the 17.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're going to say, oh, look at that. It totals up to 13 or whatever it is. And no, giving us a little bit more but than they want, but still less than we should get is not doing us any favors. But I'm sure they'll try and argue that they're being generous in some way.
Another issue that came up in our conversations today was about when you go on short-term disability, if you're not hospitalized, you have a 5-working-day waiting period, and they normally make you burn your 5 personal days.
Right, before going into short-term disability.
Now, the question was raised, can you burn sick days instead? Do they have to be personal days? Because a lot of times people are sick or injured.
Well, yeah, you are sick if you're on short-term disability in some way. So,
yeah,
you should be able to use them either way. The ones of your choice, I would think.
I would think it would be your choice, yeah.
Yeah, and there's nothing that stops you from using personal days ahead of sick days. But why would you? Because the personal days are just more valuable. They're paid out, sick days are not.
Yeah, I agree. Like, if you don't use them at the end of the year, hey, maybe that pays for Christmas, right?
One good thing, though, that I was worried about when I first heard this before I read the rules, I was worried they were going to say, hey, we're giving you back your sick days, therefore those top-up credits are no longer required. And I was thinking they might try to attack those in some way, but thankfully I've heard no clue of that.
Like, just go back to 15 sick days.
Yeah, and take away all those credits because, you know, we gave your sick days back, therefore we don't need your credits. So I think they would have a hard time that, but they also try some pretty stupid stuff. So I'm glad they didn't do that one. I'm sure they would lose that, but I was a little bit concerned that they might try that.
Yeah. Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. Yeah, so I think that's all we got on sick days. We'll see how they turn out, and hopefully not too long we'll do a clarification podcast on how it's been fixed and we're actually getting them all, but we'll see. One update, we don't often go back and update old issues. We never did a specific episode on it or a whole episode on it, but we have mentioned a few times how the provincial workers in Ontario were limited to a 1% pay raise. I missed it. It actually happened 3 weeks ago, about on December 2nd, but the Ontario courts declared that unconstitutional. So the Ford government in Ontario is going to be appealing it, of course, but that bypassing collective agreement and bypassing of collective bargaining and just dictating the salaries has been deemed unconstitutional.
Yay!
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised for Ford, though, if he uses the notwithstanding clause again. But for now, it looks good.
Yeah.
He has said he's going to challenge it. I don't know on what grounds, unless he uses the notwithstanding, because it's blatantly unconstitutional.
Yeah.
But good win for now for the labor movement, and we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
I'm sure if they had won that, it wouldn't be long before some of the other conservative-minded governments, Saskatchewan, Alberta, and a few others tried the same thing. I think they were just waiting to see how the Ontario testing ground went. So, and, you know, conservative feds too, if they ever come back. When they come back, it's inevitable eventually. Although Polyev doesn't seem to be doing so hot at the moment. He thought nothing could save Trudeau, but Polyev might be able to do it.
I feel like you need to stop talking before I have to cross all my toes so that they don't get back in.
Okay. I saw a thing one time that said, postie voting for a conservative government is like a chicken voting for Colonel Sanders.
It's true.
It is, but...
like not to pick on the members who are also members of the Conservative Party, because I know you're out there, but I don't know. I feel like I have to vote for having a job next year, so...
Yeah, nice bonus.
Yeah. Anyhow, thanks for listening, and we'll talk at you again in a couple of weeks. And if you have any answers to our confusion or any topic ideas or just any comments, please email us at overburdenpod@gmail.com. Do you have anything to add?
No, it's just funny when you said talk it to you. Talk it to you.
I was going to say something else, and then I was like, no, we do the talking, they don't talk, it's just us.
That's me.
So,
yeah, talk it to you.
It's not a conversation, it's just us.